Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Scott Gregory, sitting in today for Rich Fisher. Our guest is Brad James, the Tulsa-based singer-songwriter who's been active on and off on our scene since the 90s or so. He joins us to talk about his new album, The Brad James Band at Fellowship Hall, is that album on the Horton Records label. And there will be an album release party for this special new release on Saturday night, tomorrow night, the 1st of June, at 9 p.m. at Soul City. Brad James is a friend of mine, and I don't mind sharing that I've been a fan of his music for a while now. He's also just one of a really fertile crop of singer-songwriters who emerged from the Stillwater, Oklahoma music scene of the 80s and 90s. He will talk with us about that scene and, again, about the new album. And, again, it's my pleasure to welcome Brad James to Studio Tulsa here on Public Radio 89.5. Brad James, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, Scott. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
This album, one thing that I think is really great about it is that it's worthy of how you guys sound when you're at your best. And so congratulations.
Well, thanks. That means a lot. You know, I really appreciate that.
I don't know if you remember, but like two Christmases ago, we were having dinner, you and I, and you said, I've just started working on recording an album.
Yeah.
And so take me back to then and tell me how this project got started.
I remember, I felt like I had stopped writing songs for a long time, and on the recommendation of Jesse Acock and another good friend of mine, Ray Bonneville, they both said, Ray's quote really helped me. He said, Brad, if you'll record all your old songs and stuff, that'll really create a lot of real estate in your mind.
Was he right?
Yeah. And Jesse,
okay, what did he mean by that?
Well, you've got all these characters and all these things, like these songs that are on this At Fellowship Hall, this new album. They were songs that had been with me for a long time, but I didn't really feel like I had a good compilation or good versions of them. And I was hesitant to go try and figure out how to record things that, where it's not a jam band record, but there are improvisational pieces in
sure.
them, and how do we go capture that, like, because it's real easy live, and it's difficult in the studio to
right.
go capture, say, something like the outro to April's Girlfriend or something.
Which has
like that
great guitar. Yeah, we're totally going to play that. But I want to ask you, the album called At Fellowship Hall. Now, when people hear that, they might think, like, you know, at Fillmore East or at the Nine of Cups. Like, they might think of a venue, but this
yeah.
is more of a recording space. Tell me about it, Fellowship Hall.
Yeah, it's our friend Jason Weinheimer has this great facility over in Little Rock, Arkansas, that is called Fellowship Hall, and we went there because of it. It has a really great 2-inch analog tape machine, so we wanted to capture that analog tape sound. And then the room sounds really good, and just on Chris Combs produced the record, and it was his recommendation that was, you know, where we ought to go do that, and it worked out really nice.
Talk a little bit more about working with Chris Combs. This album has a wonderful sound, and he's, of course, like one of the premier musicians on the Tulsa scene.
Yeah, he was just genius at helping guide me through this. That's kind of how it got started, too, was the next thing that happened after kind of believing that I wanted to record. Well, Ann noticed that
your lovely wife,
my lovely wife, and realized that on the Combsy Kickstarter that there was a tier, reward tier, for I'll produce your record if you for this pledge,
right?
And so we jumped on that, and as soon as Chris and I started talking about that, you know, how we ought to record the music that, you know, our band does, seemed like we were on the same page. And so he recommended Fellowship Hall, and he helped guide me through not only telling us what were good takes in the studio, like, okay, we've got that one, you don't need to play that anymore, that kind of thing, and then coming home and helping us get the vocals laid down, some of the auxiliary tracks that sweeten the, you know, the added to what we cut live. And then his editing and mixing and everything was just amazing to, you know, sit back behind him at the computer and watch him piece these things together.
You know, you mentioned the extra instrumentation and adding sounds later on. There's some vibes on this record.
Yeah.
Talk about that. I mean, I was sort of delighted to hear that, like a marimba or a vibraphone.
A vibraphone, yeah. That'd be the talented Mr. Nicholas Foster.
And okay. So
the way that it went at Fellowship Hall is Jason would stay there and run the main, you know, the big analog 2-inch tape machine.
Right. He has the space.
All through the day.
Right.
And he lives there and has family and everything. So he'd work with us. We'd be, you know, do like noon to about 9 p.m. or something. And then he'd clock out and go home. And he let us stay in the studio, at which point Chris would take over with the engineering. And then we wouldn't be cutting live, but the auxiliary percussion and stuff. Like, so for example, Kristen Rule played congas and tambourine, a lot of other percussion stuff. And we tried to do as much of that live as we could, but on each song, Chris would have an idea for Nicholas and Kristen to stand in the room and underneath this great stereo room mic, and they'd each have a different percussion instrument and lay down a different part, and he kind of blended those in. So there was a vibraphone over there, and Nicholas is so talented, he just went over and started playing chords on the vibraphone. I had never really heard, you know, in my head, vibraphone on my tunes before, but
right.
Then we thought, oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. What track is that? What should we hear for that?
You could probably hear it on Heather Grows.
Right. Second cut on the album.
Yeah. And there's really probably some in other places too, but one thing that was really cool that that Jason Weinheimer did for us is in between takes when we were all in the control room trying to just, you know, plan what was next, he had kind of bootleg multi-tracks of old Al Green and Motown stuff. And so we'd be listening to, like, the Motown stuff. We're listening to Marvin, and he pulls, okay, here's this drum kit. And he'd pull up one drum kit and then the other drum kit. And you go, like, I didn't know there was vibraphone on. What's going on? Or so he was subtly influencing us into, like, I know you guys are into this soul and R&B music.
Yeah.
And here's what these guys' tracks, you know, just soloed out tracks sounded like.
Wow. That's really interesting.
So it was real inspiring. And then he kind of winked at us at the end of the whole, you know, 3 days in and said, yeah, I don't break that out for everybody, but I knew that it kind of might influence the way you guys walked into the room and performed.
Cool.
Know?
Let's hear a cut from that now. That is Heather Grows from the At Fellowship Hall album from the Brad James Band.
With the world upon your shoulders, baby on the way, you realize the stage you're on, the part you've got to play. Life is not some tragedy, you're bringing joy to every day. Love will come returning, that love you gave away. And as if growing up wasn't hard enough to do, there's so much more this world's putting you through. Need some understanding, God only knows. Heather, she's a flower. Heather grows. Heather grows. Heather grows. Heather grows.
You're listening to Studio Tulsa. I'm Scott Gregory. Our guest today, Brad James. He has this wonderful new album out called At Fellowship Hall, that cut called Heather Grows. I love that tune. It's got sort of a like a lovely metaphor at its core, because obviously it's referring to a woman named Heather and her life's journey in a way, but also just the flower, the plant, developing and growing. Talk
yeah.
about that. Did you write that?
Yeah. I wrote that. My friend Mike McClure helped me a whole lot with that because I had a good start on it, but he helped draw the rest of the thoughts out and everything.
One of your older tunes?
Yeah, that probably comes from about 95, and it's been recorded and stuff before. I think it's on the Stoney LaRue's Downtown album.
Okay. There's a couple of tracks on this album that are credited to a guy who I think is an old friend of yours, and I saw him play one time at a party at your house. Is it Cary Moran?
That happens a lot with his name. It's Cary Moran.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, he plays on this record. And he's a very talented performer. But I saw him play one time at a party at your house.
Yeah, just a house concert.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. And he's got a couple of tunes on this record, Together and Trust. Mm-hmm. Talk a little about your relationship with him and maybe those tracks.
Carrie and I have been friends since the late 80s when we were both playing music in Colorado. I was in Breckenridge and he was in Fort Collins. And so we both just, you know, we made friends and have played a lot of music since then. And just, you know, decades long friendship. He's
still based out of Colorado?
He is. He tours internationally just as a solo artist these days. Yeah, check it out. Carrie Morin, acoustic fingerstyle blues. Native Americana fingerstyle blues, I think they call it.
Okay.
And so, yeah, both of those songs together, I have liked that a lot. And the band was really found a nice groove, a nice pocket on that.
Yeah.
Dylan Layton's bass line kind of happened spontaneously. You know, we'd been doing a little different feel on it, but what Dylan and the drummers and everybody came up with for when we were at the studio was, it made for a really nice groove, and I've always liked the lyric in it.
That's Together. Let's hear a little of that.
Close your eyes and rest yourself. I'll be here if anyone calls. Your dreams are magnificent windows, what seem to be prison walls. You can gaze out on the ocean, yeah, remember how everything was. You may find you feel better. Everyone can be together. You may find that you feel better.
That is some of the track Together from the album At Fellowship Hall by the Brad James Band. Brad James is my guest, and you're listening to Studio Tulsa. Brad, you have credited this album to the Brad James Band. Tell me about the band, how long it's been together, who's in it.
We started right at eight years ago. Dylan Layton had gotten a bass guitar, and I hadn't played in a long time. I'd kind of been hiatus, a little bit of semi-retirement.
Uh-huh.
And so he got a bass, and then through him, I had met Andrea before. She was a guest on our Wednesday Night Science project, but Andrea Kyle, she came on as playing organ and singing just really pretty much real close to the beginning. We didn't have two or three gigs under our belt before she was playing with us. And through the years, we've had, you know, there's been several different drummers, but the core of it has seemingly always been myself and Dylan Layton, Andrea Kyle, and Kristen Rule has played percussion with us a lot over the years.
The results are fantastic. It's a really wonderful album. As I was saying earlier, I think it's worthy of the sound of your great band. This album is just so in the pocket. You know, wonderful grooves throughout. I want to get to a tune called Hey Sarah. This is a train song.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about this tune.
Let's see. It's just a true story about some friends of mine in Arkansas. The story of their family, all of those, the verses and the bridge about the fire in the woods and everything, and her brother, all of that's just true stuff that was related to me. And I was friends with both of their parents, and both Sarah and David. And so it just, again, it kind of came together where I had a pretty good start on it. And then Mike McClure helped coax the end of it out of me, you know.
This is something you wrote a while ago.
Yeah, they're both, I think...
Both of the McClure tracks.
Yeah. All of that was 95 or so.
So before we hear some of Hey Sarah, let me ask you more generally about just making an album of all original material, and it's going back decades. Do you find yourself in the studio, even in the sort of post-production, later on when you're just kind of trying to get the record done, do you find yourself revisiting some of those stories, some of those feelings, some of those whatever emotions that the songs came out of?
Yeah, it's overwhelming to go back, and you know that you're kind of trying to get a definitive version of these things. And Jason Weinheimer was really helpful in describing. He said, you know, making records is real fun, but it's real intense. And the way that we did it, we were in the studio. Our Airbnb was about a block away, a little duplex. And so we were like a tribe, a family for about 3 days. It was pretty strongly intense. And he said, when you're done with this recording process, you guys are going to have this fallout. You'll have the blues for a few days from the, you know, you're
like a postpartum thing.
Yeah. and it truly was. The band was real kind to me. They were inside of this music. They knew that it was important to me. And so to relive why I wrote those songs, I did have some pretty heavy emotional breakthroughs there while we were at the studio, and they were all real nice. You know, they didn't freak out when the big guy came unglued a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, got a little teary or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Let's hear a little of Hey Sarah. You're listening to Studio Tulsa. I'm Scott Gregory, and we are joined today by Brad James.
Off of a train. If you fall and you bust your dream, then it should be plain to see. Pick yourself back up and walk on home. You just pick yourself back up and walk on home. If there's a fire burning there, you just crawl up on your knees. Follow your big brother.
That is the tune Hey Sarah from the album At Fellowship Hall by the Brad James Band. You're listening to Studio Tulsa, and there will be an album release party for this new album tomorrow night. That is Saturday night, June 1st at Soul City at 9 p.m. Brad James Band heading the bill, and who else is there?
Let's see. Wink Burcham is going to, we're glad he's going to come open the show, and then my band will play and do a lot of the songs off the album, and then a couple others, and then one of my earliest guitar heroes and a big influence, kind of my big brother in the music scene, Brad Absher, is going to close out the show, so we can kind of get out in the crowd with our friends and kind of enjoy each other.
Brad Absher is a name that a lot of Tulsans will recognize. He used to play around here a lot. And then did he move away? Is he back? Or
He had moved to Houston and some other places, but he is back now.
Okay.
And that's great.
About him as an influence or a mentor. When did you meet him?
Probably in 85 or so, and it was kind of like your older brother who tells you what's cool and what's not cool.
Uh-huh. You know. Was this in Stillwater? Or?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, he lived in Tulsa, but I'd see him play over there. And his band was Phil Tower and Happy Hour, and then Brad Piccolo and a couple other of my big influences on guitar, Greg Morris and Dave Dyer, they were over there and in Stillwater. It was great to just get to, you know, hang around with guys that were much more experienced and learn, you know. It was the beginning of my learning how to do this music thing.
There was an incredibly fertile music scene in Stillwater in the 80s and 90s, and I guess you came out of that in a way, like you were part of that scene for a while. And I noticed that this new album is dedicated to the late Brandon Jenkins.
Yeah.
He was also sort of, I think, instrumental, so to speak, on that scene.
I would have first met Brandon on Washington Street in the early 90s. And then in the late 90s, I played in his band for a couple years. And then for a while, it seemed like I was in his band for about three different times. But I was playing with him right when we recorded this album, and you know, in between times, I was touring with Brandon, and he passed away right, you know, in the middle of this doing the album. So
wow, yeah, that's right. He died last year.
Yeah.
We had mentioned earlier in the interview this track, April's Girlfriend. It's got some really tasty guitar on it. We're going to play that in a second. But I want to ask you about your own guitar work. You're an incredibly gifted player, in my opinion. And you're also really generous and modest about your talent. You've got a lot of people you can reference who influenced you, who you came up with, who you've jammed with over the years. But when did you start playing guitar? And when and where?
You know, my dad and granddad used to pass around the it sat in one guy's closet for a long time, and then anyway, there was a guitar around, but it was this old Gibson J45. And
okay, where was this?
This was all around the world. My dad was in the Air Force, and so you know, whenever they'd see each other, they'd say, "Hey, have you been playing that guitar?" "Well, no. Why don't you let me have it again?" It'd just go back and forth like that.
And you kind of grew up all over in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I never really played until I remember I was moving onto the dorm floor in Stillwater. And so I was a freshman, and and a guy down the hall had a guitar. And I pretty immediately started, you know, messing with that, borrowing that, going to the nightclubs and met like Greg Morris, Brad Absher.
Yeah.
And through those guys, Brad Piccolo, those guys turned me on to the Stillwater scene that was Jimmy LaFave and Bob Childers, Tom Skinner,
right.
Greg Jacobs, going to the farm after hours and things like that.
Did you tell me at one point that you, in Los Angeles, took a guitar lesson or two with Howard Roberts?
He came and did a clinic. I never actually took like a private lesson.
Okay,
but he did a clinic at the school that I was at.
Oh, okay, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? I mean, that you would have been younger.
Yeah, I remember for sure sitting in the presence of Howard Roberts. But like Tommy Tedesco came and did one, and Joe DiOrio did one. And yeah, it was great.
Yeah, so I mean, you were into it back then.
Yeah.
When would that have been? Were you like 14? Were you like 18?
No, I was
18.
20 would have been 86, wow. 87.
Okay. Brad James is my guest. The Brad James Band will have an album release party at Soul City tomorrow night. That is Saturday night at 9 p.m. And by the way, he's on Facebook. Brad James Band is what you search for at facebook.com. And let's hear a little of April's Girlfriend.
April's girlfriend, she ain't my friend. April's girlfriend, she ain't my friend. No, there ain't no room around here for a guitar man. Ain't no room around here for a guitar man.
That is April's Girlfriend from the album At Fellowship Hall by the Brad James Band. Brad James is my guest, and we have so many sort of guest stars on this record. We mentioned Carey earlier. He's on the album. Chris Combs is on the album a little bit. Jesse Acock is on it some. Talk about the sort of guest roster of performers here.
You know, I think when we started the album, Combs and I both thought that maybe there were some songs that would have horn arrangements and things like that.
Really?
And, yeah. And
Which would be new for you.
Yeah, but it would be fun and exciting.
Like,
you know,
Welcome.
Like, yeah, like, you know, like Memphis stuff.
Oh, for sure. Like you mentioned Motown earlier and all of that. Yeah.
Yeah. But the guest roster really just kind of fell together organically after we had cut the live tracks at Fellowship Hall. Carey and his wife Celeste were coming through town, so they sang and he put a little bit of steel guitar on his songs. Right after that, another close friend that we have in common, Ray Bonneville, was coming through town. And Ray,
himself a great singer-songwriter who you mentioned before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen him play here in Tulsa. He's great.
Oh, yeah, he's just one of my favorites. I love his albums and his songs. And
really witty writer.
Yeah, and good friend. And he said, hey, man, Brad, you know, I'd play on your record if you want. And I thought, well, we hadn't planned to have harmonica. I don't know exactly where it would go. But, yes, come while you're here in town.
Okay.
Let's record you. And then the guy that plays piano with him, Richie Lawrence. Richie lives in California but went to high school in Tulsa.
Okay.
And knew David Tanner and is very versed in that New Orleans and gospel and Ray Charles kind of, you know, acoustic piano style. And
yeah, so, the kind of shaky right hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just really exceptionally good piano playing. And we were at dinner after a Ray show, and he said, you know, we were talking about that we had this friend David Tanner in common, and I was, David's been deceased since the 90s, but I was going to put this song, No Dress Rehearsal, on the album, and Richie offered to play on it, and as soon as we heard him do those tracks, we had him play on several more. An interesting kind of bookend for the album is when several years ago, when Dylan Layton first got his studio together, Kerry Morin was in town. I said, hey, will you come play guitar and do that one song of yours, Trust?
Mm-hmm.
And we jokingly said when we walked out of the studio, well, we just embarked on the new Brad James Band record.
Mm.
Nothing happened for several years.
Right.
And then,
little did you know.
Yeah. And that song was really the only one that we just kind of built as pieces in the studio. All the other seven, we cut live as a band in the same room and then added things later. But
right.
Trust, we kind of built. And so the very last tracks that were ever recorded for the album was Jesse Acock and Lauren Barth came in and sang beautiful harmonies, and Jesse put on some wonderful pedal steel and dobro parts. And, you know, it's funny the way these things work. I was listening to that recording the day before they got there, and I thought, man, that's not going to make the record unless they just come in with some kind of magic pixie dust.
And they did. Sprinkle just over the top of it.
Yeah.
Right.
And boy, did they. That song, you know, just kind of bookends the whole record.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Trust. Yeah. We'll go out with that for sure. It really is a beautiful, solid record. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And I want to ask you just, this is a silly little question. It doesn't really matter, but I'm just curious to see how you would answer it. Do you think of yourself as a Red Dirt musician or a Tulsa Sound musician?
That was funny because I remember sitting around with Brian Horton and Paul Benjamin and stuff when we first decided to make this record.
This record is on Horton Records.
It is, yes.
Fine label.
Yeah, wonderful. Brian's been very helpful, and we're proud to be on Horton Records for sure. But we were talking about, well, I don't exactly know, is it a Red Dirt sounding thing or is it a Tulsa sounding thing? And then in this moment of clarity, I realized, only option I've got is to sound like me, you know. I wouldn't know how to try and make a, quote, Red Dirt album or a Tulsa Sound record.
Instead, you made a fine Brad James record.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks again for coming on the show.
All right.
That is Brad James, and the new album from the Brad James Band is called At Fellowship Hall. There will be an album release party for this new album tomorrow night at Soul City on 11th Street in Tulsa at 9 p.m., and I'm Scott Gregory, sitting in today for Rich Fisher as we go out with music from the album. That last track on the album we were talking about is Trust.
Sun goes down beyond my view. Behind the Rocky Mountains, I'll observe changing hues from the foothills where I reside. The glow around the rock they call the horse tooth darkens, black paper torn and pasted against the sky with grace and ease.